It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. Each of you are treasured, you're valued. Live with intention today, live with purpose, and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing at the website, Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, to continue to keep our independent voice on the air as we help you dissect these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, searching for truth and clarity within these headlines. I certainly appreciate you and appreciate all these great sponsors I get to work with as well. Producer Steve, when we were talking before we went on air, we were talking about this day, and it is a rainy, kind of a gloomy day, but yet on the other hand, it is one of those days of life-giving rain. So there's always two ways to look at things, Steve.
Especially in this, you know, I have to laugh because we were on our sister station on Saturdays. We started a new show, the Garden Wise Show, and the voiceover in the opening always talks about how to garden in this high altitude desert. And it always catches my attention because, you know, okay, those of us who've been here for a while, we get it. But the newcomers, they need to be instructed on how to grow anything out here. So, yes, the rain is very much appreciated.
That, most definitely. It is a life-giving rain and something to be grateful for.
The fact that it's happening on a Monday is probably not a good thing, but I'll get by.
Get it over with. We'll have sunshine, hopefully, at the end of the week. But as always, thank you to each and every one of you. Check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts. And we are going to be announcing here probably middle part of the week a very cool event that we're going to be doing. And that is Candid COVID Conversations. It is an event that we're going to be having on May 20th. We don't quite have everything ready for you to sign up. The tickets are going to be $5. It's a web event, but we are building this cool little studio, and it's going to be pretty darn cool, Steve.
Candid. I can only imagine how candid they will be.
Well, when you see the guest list, you'll know that it's going to be an honest conversation about this whole thing that's been controlling our economy.
It's too early to talk about the guest list?
Yeah, just stay tuned on that.
Okay.
I have them firmed up, but I'm just going to wait to announce them. But it is going to be very, very important. Another thing, I know Stephanie called you on Friday morning regarding getting our recap up early so that people could go and make comments on this Federal Register. And the summary will be on the website. We were working with so many other things that we didn't get it done. It normally goes up on the next business day. So Friday's show will go up this morning, and we do have the link in there for two things. First of all, where you can make comments regarding what Dr. Jill was talking about on Friday at the Federal Register regarding changing the security of your medical data, the HIPAA rules. This is a really, really big thing. And so we have the link on there. I made comments yesterday. The other thing that Patty mentioned, and we have the link to the rulemaking, is she said, Kim, Jill didn't mention that new rule, Steve, is 357 pages long regarding your medical data.
Well, we can't cover all the details, can we?
Yes. So you can imagine what might be in there. I have not read that whole thing yet, but big show planned for you today. Our build of the day, and we're going to have one of the sponsors on in the second segment, is to prohibit discrimination of the COVID-19 regarding the vaccine status. And I'm very excited to talk with Representative Tanya Van Bieber. She and Representative Kim Ransom, who Kim Ransom is my representative, are sponsoring this. I can't wait to talk with her about that. And then in the third and fourth segment, I've done interviews with him before, Orson Swindell. And he was a Marine pilot in the Vietnam War. He was shot down. He spent over 6 years in a North Vietnamese POW camp. Then he came back, and he was a former commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission, as well as Assistant Secretary of Commerce during the Reagan administration. I thought he'd be a good guy, Steve, to get his perspective on what is happening in our country right now. So I can't wait to have that conversation, Steve.
Talk about credentials. Yes.
And let's see. You know, my friends, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We see all kinds of force right now. And that's what happens when you get into this bureaucratic state. And you'll see these words, mandate, requirement, just all of these force words. And that's why we have to look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. You should be able to engage with them in the battle of ideas and get it implemented through persuasion. But if it's a bad idea, that's typically, Steve, when you have to use force.
Well, maybe if we have some time here before the first break, I mean, I know you want to get the inspirational quote out and talk about this bill of the day, but talk about also the trend, if that's the right word, that we have noticed in the last 6 weeks that we've been doing bill of the day. So, yeah, it's there are certain common paths that are being developed here through every one of these bills. And I just, you know, would like to make sure, like to think that people are becoming more aware of what they are.
Well, and Steve, Colorado is the petri dish for all of this. And you've asked the question, are constituents coming forward and asking for, you know, all of these crazy bureaucratic force kind of pieces of legislation? And basically, there's groups out there like the ACLU, different groups out there that they write this legislation, and then they shop it to these different legislatures. And in Colorado is one where it seems that we now have a Democrat governor. And when I say Democrat, these Democrats are not the Democrats of JFK or your grandpa and your grandma. These are people that are pushing forward Marxist policies, people that don't believe in the conservative idea that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. These are people that don't believe in that American idea. The Marxist idea is one of elites and then everybody else equal in their misery. There's equity in the misery. And you can see that what's happening with much of this legislation that is being pushed forward. And so Colorado has a Democrat governor, a Democrat legislature, and of course, Democrat judiciary as well. And this is the petri dish. But don't be discouraged, because now that we understand what is going on, there is this great awakening, Steve. In fact, I did put this headline on late. I just saw this come across the wire this morning, and that is in South Lake, Texas. The opponents of the school diversity plan, they win a big, bitterly divided town election with both school board and city council members. That is huge. We're talking about an awakening that is happening here in America, and it is happening. I was talking with a millennial yesterday, and a friend of his had really didn't like Trump, voted on the fact that he did not like Trump, and so voted for Biden. And at this time, he is really regretting that vote, because he says Biden was not what Biden said he was, and realized apparently this guy has friends down at the border in Arizona, and his friends there are saying, you will not believe how terrible it is down here, what is happening. And so there is this great awakening that is occurring. My hope is that we can get totally awake, not woke, totally awake.
Watch yourself.
Before we spend ourselves into oblivion, Steve.
Well, okay, here's this young man who says, well, gee, Biden wasn't who he said he was. Well, for crying out loud, man, 75 million or more other Americans knew that. They knew it on November 3rd. Why didn't you? I mean, in your quest to say, I just don't like Trump, and you know, for all the multitude of reasons that were basically insignificant, and here's what we have. Here's
But bear in mind that these are people that have not, that have only been watching mainstream media and social media. And so here we are, just a little over 100 days, and they are starting to pay attention. And so there's going to be a groundswell here, and you're going to see even, I think, more onerous actions to try to shut down this great awakening. And the more they do that, the more that we will see what is happening. And again, we always must acknowledge the divine provider in all of this. In the Declaration of Independence, God is referred to four different times in four different ways. And the divine provider had his hand on this country when we were founded. He's had his hand on this country ever since. And I know he still does. And so I feel this great awakening that is occurring. And it is a big battle between good and evil. With what we have going on here. Let's get over here to the quote of the day. Since Orson served in the Reagan administration, I thought a Ronald Reagan quote was absolutely appropriate.
And you got the right one, too, by the way.
I did, didn't I? Both of them are excellent. The one at the end of the show as well. Ronald Reagan was an American politician who served as the 40th president of the United States from 1981 to 1989 and became a highly influential voice of modern conservatism. Prior to his presidency, he was a Hollywood actor and union leader before serving as the 33rd governor of California from 1967 to 1975. Was born in 1911 in February. Again, that seems to be quite the month for famous presidents to be born, and that's Reagan, Lincoln, and Washington. He died in 2004. This is what he said. If some among you fear taking a stand because you are afraid of reprisals from customers, clients, or even government, recognize that you are just feeding the crocodile, hoping he'll eat you last, Steve.
And is that not where we are here right now? I mean, people are now,
yes.
And the awakening. Oh, my gosh, look what we did. We brought in this guy, and he's the leader, you know, the leader of this incredible movement that's going in the wrong direction. You just want to say, yeah, it's you hoping he'll eat you last. And the taxation, and, you know, I've heard a lot of blow here lately about, hey, well, we're just taxing corporations more and the rich. Is like, wait a minute. Both of those entities are so prime for what they do for our economy. How many times do we have to say it? Corporations don't really pay taxes. You hit them harder with taxes. They either pass it on through the cost of their products, or they send the jobs overseas.
Exactly. And big government and big business like each other, because big business then lobbies for ways that they get out of paying those taxes. It comes right down, as you said to it, everyday people, and then our small to mid-sized businesses. Let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I have these great sponsors that I get to work with, and one of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And knives are important to the all-American toolkit, whether you're in the kitchen, you're a sportsman, or on the job. Castlegate Knife and Tool, I think, has probably, if not the largest, almost the largest collection of knives west of the Mississippi River. Check out their website. It's castlegate.com, or on one of these beautiful Colorado days, go down to Sedalia and check out their actual location. It is very, very impressive. But go to castlegate.com. We'll be right back. I cannot wait to talk to Tanya Van Bieber. She is a Colorado representative, and what she and Kim Ransom are proposing is so important. So we'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. 888-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who continue to contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. So we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Our goal is to help you understand these issues so that you can engage with your friends and your family and your colleagues as we engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our country today. I am so excited to have on the line with me Colorado Representative Tanya Van Bieber. She is sponsoring a very important bill. It's our bill of the day. It's House Bill 21-1191 to prohibit the discrimination of COVID-19 vaccine status. Representative Van Bieber, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate you having me this morning.
Now, tell us, what area does your district entail?
So it's central and northern Will County. So it's pretty much from the little town of Platteville all the way up to the little town of Pierce. It's east of Highway 85, give or take 10 to 12 miles on Highway 85. And then clear over to Johnstown Milliken on the I-25 side. It's kind of a large square. And out of that square, if you pop Windsor out, you pop the center of Greeley out, everything else is mine. So 13 small towns, including the west side of Greeley.
Well, this, thank you for that, and thank you for your work on this. This House Bill 21-1191, and as so people understand, House Bill, it's noted as HB, so HB 21, which is the year, and then the bill number, which is 1191. And Representative Van Bieber, we have on our headlines a couple of different things that CU, the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, CSU, and CSU Pueblo are going to require COVID-19 vaccinations for students, faculty, and staff for the fall semester. At this point, my understanding is they still do have some medical and religious exemptions and also waiting for FDA approval. For this, it's actually not a vaccine. It's an experimental drug because it's still in the experimental drug phase. It's not been approved by the FDA. But love this over, if I was going to send my kids to college right now, I would certainly recommend Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction because they are not requiring vaccinations. But this is teeing this up for something that is very important that employers and venues, variety of different places could discriminate against people because of their informed choice on whether or not they want to take the vaccination or experimental drug or not. So tell us more about this House Bill 21-1191.
Well, House Bill 21-1191 is predicated upon what you just spoke about. First of all, you're right. This is not a vaccine. It's actually what you would technically call a gene therapy. At the end of the day, it's an experimental drug used here. It's not FDA approved. And so what we're starting to see different states around the nation do is create or discuss the health vaccine passport issue. And what quickly became apparent to several people here in Colorado is Colorado, while they may say they may not go that vaccine passport direction, is actually looking at using, if you will, businesses or affecting how someone might buy, sell, trade, travel, or be educated in using those entities that are responsible for those kinds of ways of being a free civil society and using them as the long arm of the law. And when you start commingling how you create conditions as a state entity with how someone may operate any of those kinds of institutions, you've now created an incredibly messy area in which the state can wash their hands and say, well, not us, we didn't do anything, but that's really not true. And so what this bill does is says, predicated on those federal laws that we know to be in place, which you may not violate, you cannot mandate a vaccine, especially an emergency authorized use vaccine, We look at this bill and say, at the state level, the teeth is in this bill to say there is civil injunctive relief should someone discriminate against you in that regard. You think about the different laws that were tested and passed based on that very premise alone. Roe v. Wade even was decided using that principle. The ruling was twisted. You know, the idea was that murdering a child can't be health care, but the ultimate concept, removed from the issue of abortion, is still true. What goes on between you and your doctor is none of the government's business, and certainly none of the business between a student and their college, a person and a business. And so those are the fundamental pieces to this bill. And so that's the direction we wanted to go because it's so all-inclusive. It honors the federal law that's already in place. And let's be real. At what point did we ever think we would get to in a society in which we had to discuss our medical history or be forthcoming about our medical history to live in a civilized society, to be able to go to the gym, to be able to get on a plane or a bus, to be able to do the things we want to do to live in a civilized society? When I think about the legislation that's been passed this year, it says things like isolation, solitary confinement for prisoners is barbaric. We can't go see our elderly in nursing homes, and they're isolated. And yet we're fully going to be complicit and just turn our heads and look the other way by purposefully creating a medical tyranny, a two-tier system of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated and isolate them. You're seeing different entities come out and say, you can go to prom. You can gather in groups of 10. You can go to this staff meeting. You can go to that event. Even the state of Colorado is putting out memes showing Red Rocks saying, you know, if you want this and a bottle of the vaccine, the gene therapy, and saying, then you've got to do this. If that's not an inference of how the government has commingled this discussion and using the weight of the state to be invasive in how you'll go live your life, purchase what you want to do, go be an independent civil member of society, I don't know what that says then.
Representative Van Bieber, this is so important, and it's also going to be very telling to see how this goes through the process. So this has been introduced. This bill has been introduced. Where are you in the process right now?
So right now we're working with different individuals who definitely have an opinion about this legally, and they'd like to share that information. They'd like to point out what those things look like. We're talking to individuals who have clear and present opinions about the Constitution, their personal civil liberties. It is in committee, and we are looking at a calendar date of Wednesday, May 12th at 1:30, although that has not been scheduled, and that is up to the chair of that committee. I know that the discussion might be out there that it's being held on to, and that's not the case. I did have a family medical emergency this last week, and so the chair was kind enough to make this bill push off until next Wednesday, the 12th, May 12th, and so I did deeply appreciate that so that we could be there for family. But at the end of the day, that's where we're at. We are just waiting and watching, because the longer we wait, the more that we see people being free with their thinking, in that it is okay to discriminate, to create this two-tier system, to create this medical tyranny with commingled expectations from the state and how different entities will go about their business. And so the more that we get to sit and look at this and watch, the more interesting it will become. So that's kind of where we're at. And of course, we encourage anybody and everybody who has been part of that outcome, if you have been discriminated against, if you've been fired, if you have felt compelled, we've actually had individuals contact us who've had their businesses, their employers, ask them to sign paperwork saying, I understand that if I don't get the vaccine, I'll be damaging or injuring my coworkers or the people that I work with. Forcing them, compelled speech, it's unbelievable what we're seeing. And so, hopefully our goal is to stop that in its tracks. At the end of the day, I never dreamed that I would see in my lifetime the need to go this far to ensure that our fellow Coloradans do not step over that line to strip away very fundamental rights to live in a civilized society we have autonomy over one's body. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, well, Representative Van Bever, first of all, thank you for your vision on this, and keep us in the loop. Let us know how we can help. And again, this is Representative Tanya Van Bever, and this will be May 12th when this will be heard in committee, and that is House Bill 1191. Thank you so much, Representative Van Bever.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. I just love the courage of Representative Van Bever and Representative Ransom. This is really, again, we talk about a great awakening that is occurring here in America, and I think that that's just part of it. That is really good news, Jason.
I think it is. We need to get a lot more like them, and certainly a lot more like them that that stick to their guns once they're actually in office, instead of telling one story and then getting in and just kind of cowing down to the man and doing what will appease the other side to keep them happy. So sometimes you got to go in with guns blazing, keep them blazing, and be willing to continue to fight even if it's uncomfortable.
And just to let everybody know, that is a figure of speech, that, right? In the battle of ideas, we want to have our guns blazing. We need to make sure in this day and age that we make that distinction, right, Jason?
I was going to say, it's a very sad world we've come to live in, where you've got to put a disclaimer on that, Kim, but I don't blame you.
I know it. Okay, as we are looking at things going on, what's on your radar?
Well, Kim, the markets continue to kind of try to move higher. We've had some sideways action on the Dow for the last couple of weeks. Friday was a little bit of a down day, but it looks like today we're going to open strong at least. We'll see what happens by the end of the day. Earnings season for the most part has been fairly strong. Most of your larger tech stocks have started to report. The earnings have generally been pretty good, although we've seen a couple of cases where the earnings have been good and the stocks kind of went down. Anyway, that's happened sometimes in a market that's very, very high, and even when a company exceeds earnings, they didn't exceed them by enough to make the stock shoot up higher, at least initially. So sometimes you'll see profit taking when the traders know there'll be big volume because of the earnings release.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because they didn't hit the expectations versus the fact that they had higher earnings. I would recommend that people sit down with you, Jason, and do a discovery session with the market at these highs. And I know capital's trying to figure out a place to go, and the market seems to be the place that it is going right now. But I think people assessing risk tolerance, looking at different things that people can put into their portfolios, because each individual is different, and that's what you specialize in helping people do, Jason.
Yeah, you're right, Kim, when you say each person is different. I mean, I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of plans over my career for people, and I'll tell you, there isn't one single one that's the same as another. Everybody's got their specific needs, desires, situations, and quirks, and I think we try to do a very thorough job of integrating those into the plan for you, and then also trying to help you put in place the things that will hopefully make your dreams come true, or at least keep the nightmares from coming and invading you later in retirement. So to set up an appointment to come and see us, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, Kim.
Okay, Jason McBride, again, that number is 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good show, Kim.
And before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants, which is located, they have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Lone Tree. And they have lunch specials. I thought I'd just let you know, they have $8 items, which some of them are Baja fish tacos, $9 items, shrimp tacos, chicken strips, a variety of things, and $10 items. These are really good, are their fish and chips. So go to my website, that's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on sponsors on icon, the Hooters icon. That'll bring up all their specials. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Orson Swindle.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I am really excited to have our next guest on with us right now, and that is Orson Swindle. He was a Marine pilot, was shot down, was a North Vietnamese prisoner of war. He's a former commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission and a former assistant secretary of commerce during the Reagan administration. Orson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning. It's nice and foggy out here.
It's that life-giving rain that we have happening, which I'm grateful for. Orson, your story is a remarkable story. And for those of you that have not heard our past interviews, you were shot down over North Vietnam in what year?
November the 11th of 1966.
And you were a prisoner of war for how long?
Over 2,000 days, 6 years and almost 4 months, as I recall.
And your son was, what, four when you were shot down? Is that right?
Yeah, I lived in South Georgia. We're native of South Georgia, and he had just turned 4 years old when I departed for Vietnam. And when I got home, he had just turned 11.
I really think people need to think about that for just a moment, of what our military have been willing to do to stand up against tyranny, to stand up against evil. And the fact that those years you missed because you were a POW. Did your family know that you were alive, Orson?
I was listed as missing, possibly alive or probably alive. They didn't know for sure that I was alive for several years, which, of course, is an enormous burden to place on them. And, you know, it's just one of those things you deal with the hand you're dealt, and that's what we essentially try to do as prisoners of war. We fought a mighty battle of our own behind the enemy line, so to speak, and, you know, for the most part, we came out of it pretty well.
It's a remarkable story for sure. But then when you came back after the war, a pretty amazing career that you have as a former commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission and assistant secretary of commerce. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as a POW, when we came home, one of our staunchest supporters was Governor Reagan and his wife Nancy of California, who eventually, of course, became president. And I had the opportunity, as many of us did in reunions, to visit with then Governor Reagan. And it was just natural. When I got out of the Marine Corps, he was running for president. I decided I wanted to help him. And I did get involved in politics, which I had never done before. And that led eventually to an appointment by the president. And it was just an extraordinary relationship. I got to know him a little bit, not personal, like I would know many friends, but had been around him a lot. And I found him to be an incredibly admirable person. And it was a real honor to serve with him. And serving in government is an education unto itself. Mm-hmm. you know, when you get on the inside of it and see how it runs, we have probably the best governmental system in the world. And yet it has flaws beyond belief, and we waste extraordinary amounts of money. And, you know, we're seeing that play out right now in a very destructive way.
Well, and I get a number of your emails, and given your history and given the your willingness to stand against tyranny and evil, and what we see going on in our country now is of tremendous concern to me, Orson. What's your comments on it?
Well, let's go back to being a POW. You know, we had nothing other than what was inside of our hearts and heads going for us in prison. You can physically be beaten down into submission time and time again. You can die. You can suffer a great illness from the incarceration and lack of diet and all those things. But in spite of that, we had an enormously strong personal sense of admiration and obligation to our country. When we got home, as those who are old enough to remember, the country had taken, made some pretty drastic changes. It was not the same country we left. The divisiveness of the Vietnam War was quite destructive, I think, on our society and social mores. It changed. And, you know, I could just go on endlessly about things that have changed. But when we got home, we recognized the beautiful country that we came from and said it was worth it. We hung in there through a belief in our country. And quite frankly, what's going on today is just is extremely disturbing, because we're on a very destructive path right now. People don't understand, apparently. And, you know, when you got 50% of the people doing stupid things, we're in for bad times ahead, and I think our education system has failed us terribly because of us, I might add. You know, Lord knows, I remember as a kid, our parents were involved in Parent and Teachers Association, and they paid attention to what's going on at school. We don't do that anymore. Our young people have been incredibly indoctrinated. Interestingly, they have bought into a line that we were beaten in prison to find and follow. And we refuse to do it. Yet we have very complacently gone along with these changes, and the education system has been corrupted, and we're paying a dear price for it right now. We can recover if we just do it, but if we keep just going along with all the changes that are going on, we're going to be in bad shape, you know. We've been duped, to put it mildly.
You know, Orson, we really have been duped. I remember, first of all, I'm a product of a great classical liberal public education, where we first of all, we learned the basic things that you would need to be able to be a productive citizen, to succeed in life, and that was being able to read and write and do arithmetic and think critically and know our history. That seems like a no-brainer. When my kids were in school, that's when I was starting to become very just concerned, is that, like, February, I mentioned, since you were on, our quotes for today are from Reagan. He was born in February, as well as Lincoln and Washington, three great presidents for sure. But when I was a kid, we learned about Lincoln, we learned about Washington, and certainly they were not perfect men. But Orson, this ideal that America was founded on, this thing that is worth conserving, hence conservative, that is this idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that is noble, that is good, that is something that is excellent that we should strive for, Orson.
Well, excellent points. And as you know, the easiest way to tear that down is to create a sense of doubt. And our education system has done that in spades with the vast majority of our young people, I think. We've got some brilliant young people. I have neighbors. They have two of the finest young people I've ever known in my life, really top-notch kids, and the kids, they're in their 20s. But we don't pay attention to those things anymore. And thank goodness our granddaughters, we had a combined birthday party last night for my wife, Angie, and her son, Layton. It was in a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get a chance to celebrate. So we had our triplet granddaughters with us. And they are just absolutely, of course, I'm biased. They're just great kids. And they are in a charter school that is based on the Hillsdale model of a classical liberal education. And people might say, well, what does all that mean? It means the way I was educated and my contemporaries were educated, as you just described. We learned basics of education. We learned how to think. And we understood the history of the country, that it was not perfect. God knows it wasn't perfect. If you read history, and I question seriously whether many young people read history anymore, but if you read the history, you cannot help but be inspired by the dedication of people. And by the way, these people we're talking about in this particular moment, our founding fathers, many of them were in their early 20s, which is,
I know,
pretty remarkable when you think about what people in their early 20s do these days. But a classical education, a liberal education, as the statement goes, is just priceless. It's absolutely priceless. And our children, our grandchildren, are demonstrating this day in and day out, and their school is doing it likewise.
Well, and you mentioned many of our founding fathers were in their early 20s, and I'm questioning now my constitution, but it seems like you had to be at least 25 years old, have to be 25 years old to serve in Congress. And a 25-year-old back then had so much life experience.
They spoke different languages. They read Latin, for God's sake. You know, they were incredibly educated. You know, there's an email that runs around every now and then showing you questions on an eighth-grade examination.
Right.
I swear I can't answer many of the questions.
Yeah, that I have that as well. I'd recommend that people do a web search for that, and it is the Saline County, Kansas, 8th grade graduation exam from 1895. And I imagine that there's probably many PhDs that cannot answer most of those questions. Orson Swindle, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation about 2021 America. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. Greatly appreciate that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And there's really two ways to make money. One is to earn it through your work or risk-taking, having an idea, but earning your money. The other is to take it via force, and that could be with a weapon, or it could be with policy, excessive and unpredictable taxation, or we've seen one most recently, and that is fear. And I have on the line with me Orson Swindle, pretty remarkable man. He was a Marine pilot during the Vietnam War. He was shot down. He was a prisoner of war for 6 years and 4 months. Now, just Just think about that. 6 years, 4 months, he did not have the freedom to do anything that he wanted to do. But then he came back, and under the Reagan administration, he was an assistant secretary of commerce, as well as a commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission. Orson, you just have a unique perspective to share on what's going on. And so there's a couple of headlines that are kind of recent, and I wanted to get your take on this, because as I was looking at this, Patty, our researcher, put this on the outline, is that apparently the Snow White ride in at Disneyland, it ends with the handsome prince giving Snow White a kiss, and that kiss actually awakes her from this deep sleep. And I've always loved that story. I loved it. Apparently, the San Francisco Gate, which is a publication, said that actually the prince kissed her without her permission, and so that was not a good idea. However, another headline that just came out is California is releasing 76,000 inmates early because they just want to cut the jail population. So those people are clearly in jail because they've used some kind of force in their life against other people's will. And over there, they're letting people loose. But over here, this beautiful story, this beautiful love story, they're taking shots at that. What do you think about that, Orson?
Well, you know, the world seems upside down right now. President Biden is a man who's certainly mentally challenged. I don't think he has the foggiest idea what's going on. And he has acolytes all over the country who helped elect him. A question which I personally think maybe it was stolen in my mind in many ways, but this is insanity. You know, we are turning over. I guess where is common sense? I was taught as a young man or a kid that common sense was a very valuable thing. We don't seem to have common sense anymore, and I think that's because I think we had it because we were taught it. Today, we're embroiled in systemic racism claims, which is the most BS thing I've ever heard in my life, critical race theory. We're so far off track, and half the country has bought into it. And these kind of actions, such as releasing prisoners, I mean, where's the common sense in that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to a person who is capable of thinking. Massive buildup of government, which is currently in progress right now, that is going to just destroy our economy in the long run. You know, socialism has never worked. And if you aren't educated, if you haven't read enough, if you aren't curious enough, you probably don't know as a young person that socialism has never worked, but yet half the country has bought into it. And, you know, half the young people are saying they think they will be better off in a Biden world, which is absurd. It's never worked. So, you know, there's just a lot of this stuff going on in all directions. There's a theory in warfare and, I guess, business and everything else called swarm theory. And that may be the wrong moniker for it, but it's the idea of just overwhelming your enemy or your opponent, coming at them from all directions. That's where we are right now. We are being assaulted as a people, as a country, but you know, every possible direction, and it's taking its toll. If Americans don't start saying no to this garbage, I don't know if we can survive it. It's that desperate, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Orson, when you talk about this swarm theory, I've thought about that as well. The first month of Biden, the Harris-Biden administration, was basically executive order after executive order, really trying to roll back or get rid of the progress that had been made under the Trump administration. And during the first segment, I had mentioned that I was talking to a millennial who was had a conversation with another millennial who said was really regretting his Biden vote. And part of that was because of what's happening down at the border in Arizona. And I think there are people that are waking up. And Orson, the other thing on this whole COVID reaction, disruption, what it's done. I mean, it's been terrible for our economy. But I would say maybe a silver lining to this cloud is that it has disrupted what was happening with education. I was so concerned that how were we ever going to roll this back? And there are parents that are seeing what their kids are being taught. And I think they're also realizing our kids are falling behind. And you only have a certain amount of hours in the school day to teach kids. And to have kids coming out of school without those basic things to be able to be a success, but instead using the hours in the day, as you mentioned, for critical race theory or teaching these kids that they're racist. Victor Davis Hanson had said, how on earth could Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry sit there and talk about being discriminated against when Oprah is a billionaire and yet a white forklift operator in Bakersfield trying to tell him that he's privileged? As you mentioned, Orson, it's upside down.
It really is upside down. And you mentioned to me the most destructive aspect of this COVID virus, and God knows losing hundreds of thousands of people is a tragedy, but perhaps even a more devastating tragedy is what our children have lost. And, you know, I still have the feeling that we've been duped there too. And, you know, young people, you can't afford to not be learning day after day after day. And quite frankly, it seems as though the teachers' unions have almost used it as blackmail. They won't come back to work for whatever their reasons are. And the children have suffered, and the parents have certainly learned a little bit about the education system and the demand that, I mean, the difficulty of educating kids. But we're under enormous pressure. This swarm theory that I mentioned, I don't want to create a new theory because I'm not that smart, but I just know the tactics. And we are paying a dear price, and we have not seen the extent of the dear price we're paying. It's coming down the road. And if we don't change ways now, I don't know how we get out of it. And, you know, the likes. But you're seeing this assault on our intellect by the Oprah Winfrey and you know, the news media. It's just absolutely sickening to watch it. And we must start saying no to this garbage.
Well, and one of the first things to do is to turn it off. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. I find that with the research that Patty is doing here, the research I'm doing, the research that people send to me all the time, you have to start to critically think. And I do feel, though, Orson, there is this great awakening that is occurring. I feel like the time is of the essence, but I think that it is occurring. And I always say we are Americans and we stand on the shoulders of giants. Giants like you who have been willing to put it all on the line so that we can live in freedom and prosperity. Another one of our guests, Rick Turnquist, says that we are living here in America at the pinnacle of human thriving and flourishing, and it's beyond me how we would not want to protect that and actually extend that to other people throughout the world instead of letting it be torn down. So we've got probably just a couple of minutes, Orson. What is the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, you made a comment that you, a young person, said he sort of regretted voting for Biden. You know, this is a tragedy of all this. This was all obvious that it was coming, and people didn't care enough about learning and paying attention to what's going on and what's being said. We're in an age of propaganda. You've got to have a strong mind to cope with propaganda. I know that personally because I was under a deluge of propaganda as a prisoner of war. But we can overcome this. But we've got to get started now, and we've got to do it through our public education system. We've got to do it through parents taking an active role in what's happening with their kids. And we as a people in general, with all this garbage that Biden's pushing down on all these executive orders, just say no. We've got to get courageous in Congress and just say no, because there's some ideas floating around under the Biden administration that would be devastating to this country, and we can't afford to go through that.
Well, and Orson Swindoll, I so appreciate the conversations that we have had. And I just would like to close and let people know. And actually, we've got a minute. If you can tell the story about your football team, that would be just great.
My football team? You mean when I was captured?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I was, you know, they were torturing me and trying to get me to give them information about my my squadron. And I, you know, we were taught in survival school that you, if you tell lies, you got to have lies you can remember. So I gave them, when I finally relented and submitted to the torture, I told them my squadron commander was a certain person, and he was my high school football coach, and our executive officer was the assistant coach, and all the pilots in my squadron were football players that I played with my senior in high school. And when I got home, they had a day for me down in my little hometown of Camilla, Georgia. And I looked down in the audience when I was giving some remarks, and there were about 8 or 9 of those guys were sitting there smiling at me. And I said, you guys better not ever go to North Vietnam because they're looking for you.
You
got to keep laughing, you know.
Oh, my gosh. That is a story that I really appreciate. Orson Swindoll, I so appreciate you sharing your perspective this morning on the Kim Munson Show. We are working to bring forth truth as looking at freedom versus force. So thank you so much, Orson.
Nice talking to you, Kim. Take care.
You bet. And my friends, our quote for today is from Ronald Reagan. He said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon.